Horst Jankowski on monitor, and We Got Love. Michelle Lee's latest, Knowing When to Leave. In this half hour, we'll hear about the big Thanksgiving weekend at Lake Havasu City, Arizona. That's where they're reconstructing London Bridge, you know. Brought it over piece by piece from England. And they're still trying to put it back together piece by piece. But the event we'll find out about is the Outboard World Championship Races. Our first event, Monitor on Stage. performances recorded live at leading theaters and nightclubs. In a minute, Sandler and Young, brought to you by Savings and Loan Association, serving America.
Save where your money earns. Save where your money earns. Save where your money earns money faster. Save at your savings and loan. Where you save does make the difference. Save at your savings and loan.
Save up.
Save now.
Save now and
save in your hometown.
Your town.
Where you save does make the difference. Save at your savings and loan.
Savings and Loan Associations have been selected by over 1 million teenagers as the place to save for their futures. We're proud of that and proud of them because they've learned early in life to put something aside today for something that's really important tomorrow.
Where you save does make a difference. Save at your savings and loan.
Now, here are Sandler and Young with opening number.
What can we do for an opening number that hasn't been done before? Why even sing an opening number? They usually are such a bore. Folks in the know say you start off a show with a slow song, while others will say that the right thing today is a let's get on with a show song. Way back in France where they sing of romance in a club on the Champs-Élysées, the singer steps out and he starts to shout in this dynamic way.
Belle, belle, vous connaissez bien l'émission. Belle, belle, cette émission sans prétention. De même qu'il faut des brunes et des blondes, il faut de tout pour faire un monde. Belle, belle, des nouveautés, des attractions. Belle, belle, des jeux, des rires et des chansons. Un peu de tout, un peu de tout. Voici belle, belle, à vous, à vous.
Here in the States, a lot of the greats would open their show with a bang. They'd step out on the floor, starting to roar. Here's a song that they sang. The curtain is going up and I'm gonna show myself and I'm gonna live till I die. You're gonna hear from me, I just wasn't meant to be an ordinary guy. Why don't you sit back and just relax while I give you all the facts you wanna know. G-R-E-A-T to be with Y-O-U.
People admit that an opening number is better than nothing at all. No one is famous for opening numbers, none that we can recall. If our songs are tragic or snappy, there's one thing we want you to know. Forget your troubles and just be happy. And let's get on with the show. So forgive us, Mr. Gershwin, Mr. Porter, Mr. Berlin, if we don't sing your opening song.
Sandler and Young for Monitor on Stage. Brought to you by Savings and Loan Association, where 43 million people keep their savings.
Save where your money earns money faster. Save at your savings and loan.
Over the years, Savings and Loan Associations have paid higher returns on savings than any other type of financial institution.
Where you save does make the difference. Save at your savings and loan.
At 16 past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon. Next on Monitor, well, sir, it's my favorite song since Winchester Cathedral, which was my favorite song since Flatfoot Floogy with the Floyd Floyd. This doll is Those Were the Days by Little Mary Hopkin.
One
whole thing. An Indianapolis 500 driver discusses his career racing boats. Next up on Monitor Sports. Brought to you by Chrysler Corporation's Customer Car Care Program.
Hi, fun seekers. This is Jackie Vernon, the only guy in correspondence school to be kept in. A born loser. Every summer I'd get sand kicked in my face by the girls. In the winter, it wasn't much better. They'd kick snow. All but my first love, Linda. One night, as Linda and I arm wrestled for the check, I noticed she had Remember the Maine tattooed on one arm. On the other, it said Customer Care. So I asked her about it, and she told me how Customer Care was the kind of certified car care service you get at your Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealers, and how they treat you as well as they treat your car. So I rushed from the table and bought a Plymouth, a Dodge, a Chrysler, and an Imperial, thinking that four times the normal amount of Customer Care might change my life. And it did. Now postmen no longer bite me, birds sing, all because of Customer Care. And you, Linda.
The Outboard World Championships will be held on Thanksgiving weekend at Lake Havasu City, Arizona. The first driver to enter was Jim Hurtubise, better known as an Indy 500 car jockey. A report from Monitor Sports editor Ledin Dillon.
Jim Hurtubise, not many people realize it, but you're no stranger to racing boats. What kind did you race and when?
Well, I started racing boats when I was in high school. In fact, that was my first competition. I raced outboards and all around little towns around Canada, the regattas in western New York, and I won a few of them, too. In fact, I've got a couple of trophies home to show for it, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
What prompted you to get back into boat racing after all the success you've had driving cars?
Well, it's, now the purses are, of course, coming up in boat racing, like this Salt Lake Havasu City race. It's got a $30,000 purse here we're talking about and $10,000 to win. Now, that's enough to tempt anybody to get back into boat racing.
Makes you think a second time, doesn't it?
Right.
These are the Outboard World Championships, November 30, December 1, right?
Right. We expect, I believe, 150 boats there. There'll be drivers from Italy and all over. Ronald Reagan's son, Mike Reagan, will be back. He won it last year.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be back again this year. He's entered. Craig Breedlove, the world speed record holder. There's going to be a bunch of top contenders in there.
Sounds like a good lineup. You set some sort of a world record, better than 191 miles this past summer?
Right. That was my Indianapolis car. It was at Daytona Beach Speedway. It's I ran 191.983, I believe, and it was an average of two laps, and it was on a 2.5 mile high bank course. That's an enclosed course record. It's an average speed around an enclosed course, circle course.
Would you say there's a greater risk in driving a boat?
Right, I believe there is a little more risk in driving a boat. You're going at a speed, and of course, you can't see any objects in the water, and the water can get awful rough. Whereas you know what the race course is going to be like, you get a chance to practice on it, and it's going to stay the same, other than maybe getting a little oil on it or something slippery. But a boat, you're out on the water, and it can get real choppy. You can hit a wave or anything, and a pop bottle or a beer can, and it's awful dangerous traveling at speeds like our boat. My boat will be going about 90 miles an hour. So when you hit something at that speed, you're going to hit it pretty hard.
Jimmy, you never won when you were racing at Indianapolis, did you?
No, I never have. In fact, actually, I've never really finished the race. I've been there 8 years, and I've never had any accidents in the race, and it's always been mechanical problems that have put me out of the race.
Well, Jim Hurtubise, let's hope that in the Outboard World Championships at Lake Havasu City, November 30th and December 1st, that you overcome that Indianapolis luck that you've had, and you finish first in this race.
Well, then I'm looking forward to it, and I'm hoping we finish right up front in the lead, in fact.
Thank you for being our guest. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about State Farm.
Hi, I'm Phil Foster. The other day, I called my State Farm agent. Hey, Phil, he said, I sure hope you're satisfied with the low cost of your State Farm fire and casualty homeowners policy. Yeah, I said, it's perfect protection for my sprawling ranch house. Ranch house, he said. I thought your house had two stories. That, Ralph, is the reason I called you.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Here's a new one by Lenny D. Folsom Prison Blues. Thank you. Here's the now news for the coming week. That's NBC Radio's daily afternoon program with Roscoe. It'll be heard every day, including Thanksgiving, when four men who have written essays for a new book, America Now, will be heard from. They are Senator George McGovern, Floyd McKissick, Eric Mann, and Richard Rovere. Listen to Now, after Thanksgiving dinner Thursday, and every day.
When the nuclear submarine Skate groped its way under the Arctic ice cap, its commander was James Calvert. Today, Admiral Calvert is the superintendent of the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis. Life magazine goes below the surface of the energetic and thoughtful commander of the midshipman. In a close-up, a submariner rises to Annapolis. Admiral Calvert gives life his views on education, dissent, the changing role of the military, and his own job at the Naval Academy, where excellence is considered its own reward. Reporting another kind of excellence, Life cameras focus on three athletes from Kenya, medal winners in the 1968 Olympics, the homecoming of Olympic heroes in Life this week. Life magazine, working to bring you a world of information, insight, and ideas. Life.
Monitor. In Miami, Florida, you hear it on WIOD, 610 on the dial. Wherever you hear it, stay with it. Morgan, back shortly.
This is David Brinkley. My daily reports are heard each weekday afternoon right here on NBC Radio.
Morgan with Monitor, introducing Sergio Mendes with Scarborough Fair.
Is a country of heroes. But how about these? Joseph Sank, Benjamin Banneker, Crispus Attucks. You probably never heard of them. They were Negroes, and our history books have often failed to explore the important part Negroes played in American history. Life magazine this week begins a four-part report on Negro history, The Search for a Black Past. Part one of the Life series is a 17-page portfolio on the period from the Revolution to the Civil War. And as usual, Life keeps its eye on today. there's a story on a West German millionaire accused of spying for communist East Germany, and a revealing report on a theater critic who took off all his clothes while watching a play because he thought it was expected. The expected, the unexpected, the unexplored. All in Life this week. All in the magazine that works to bring you a world of information, insight, and ideas.
You know, it's hard these days to find anything to be irreverent about. We've almost run out. But comedian Ron Carey has done it, especially his joking about the Catholic Church. And before we go any further, I am not Henry Morgan. Now we'll go further. Ron Carey makes jokes about the Catholic Church, and I'm an anonymous interviewer. Ron, give us a for instance of your humor. Terrible thing to say, but give us a for instance.
In Rome, they have their own television show, which is sanctioned by the Vatican. They call it Televatican. And in their TV manual, these are the things. This is recommended viewing for the clergy there. This is on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. You have Wide Whirl of Sins. 8 o'clock, Run for Your Pew. 9 o'clock, Mission Impossible. 10 p.m., Pagan Place. 10:30, Rabbi Patrol. 11 o'clock, Vatican News. That's a biggie. And 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., a sermonette. You grab all those late and early mass people.
I'm not laughing, you understand.
I know, it's just the cough that's coming up.
Yes, I have a funny throat. What reaction do you get from Catholics? You've been doing this out in public.
I must say,
Ron's been reading from a new book of his.
Yeah, that was one of these.
Called Ron Carey's Irreverent Comedy. It is purchasable. So what happens when you go out in front of an audience with Catholics in it?
Well, most of the routines I do are actually, there are other ones beside this.
This is
from the book. Yeah. They've been very favorable, and for the time I've been doing it, it's about 3 years now. And they enjoy it, and I get a lot of letters from the clergy, and I have some very dear friends, the priests that become friends of mine through this material.
Uh-huh. Are you Catholic?
Yes, I'm Catholic.
Uh-huh.
So far,
from what I know of your humor, it's just funny. It's not anti-anything.
No, that's the whole key to it, is not to keep it on that borderline of taste, which is the key word.
Sure. Of course, I've seen you and I've met you originally on the Merv Griffin Show, where you do it for a mass audience, which is a cross-section. What do you get the biggest reaction from?
I think the one routine I do would be Father Murphy and his announcements on Sunday morning. That's the one. I do a takeoff on a 60-year-old priest who just gets up there every Sunday and just reads his announcements. You know, do it a little. Can I just give you an idea?
I wish you would.
Morning. Have a few announcements I'd like to read. First, our total earnings for the year. Our parish earned approximately $100,000. I like to break it down. No questions in the parish. Where the money went to? Spent $50,000 on candles. $50,000 on matches. Our first collection today is for the new roof on the church. Second collection today is for the old roof on the church. And tomorrow night, Monday night, I'll have a meeting in my office on our bazaar, which this year will run from January 2nd to October 29th. Tuesday night, we'll have our annual Pat O'Brien Film Festival. Thursday night, there'll be a lecture on the evils of gambling. Friday night, bingo! Father Murphy.
That goes for any church, doesn't it? Really?
I was just taking the man-made things, you know, all their...
Oh, sure. It fits anybody, anywhere. I don't know that particular priest, but I know him.
Yeah.
That's about the way it goes. We're talking with Ron Carey, who also has an album called The Slightly Irreverent Comedy of Ron Carey. And I think we've had a marvelous example of what it contains. Too little, of course, but that's the way these interviews go. They're always too little. Ron Carey, thank you very much for stopping by for this little revival meeting.
Thank you very much.
at 17 before the hour, you're on the monitor beacon. American Boy, described by English Girl, Petula Clark.
Once those American boys get near you, they take good care of your heart. From Kentucky to New York City, California to Idaho, let me tell you, girls, plain or pretty, there's something that you gotta love. Once those American boys get near you, like a movie star. Let me tell you, girls, plain or pretty, remember wherever you are.
Gaggiola talks with fight referee Ruby Goldstein in 1 minute, brought to you by the Associates Finance Company. Here's Joe.
Say, do you have big plans for the Thanksgiving holiday? Like maybe a trip back home? Or a family get-together? Or maybe getting a head start on your Christmas shopping? You know, if your holiday plans are bigger than your budget, you've still got time to see the folks at Associates Finance. Chances are, they can loan you the money you need to take care of any financial problem, holiday or otherwise. And if you call or stop in early next week, there'll still be plenty of time to get the money you need before the weekend begins. Associates Finance offices are located all over the country, and there's one within easy driving distance of you. It's listed in the yellow pages. So, if you need money for the holidays, or for any good reason, talk turkey with the folks at Associates Finance. Associates, nice people with money to loan you. One of the most interesting jobs in sports is that of the fight referee. And recently I had a chance to discuss it with one of the best, Ruby Goldstein. One of the first things I asked him was when a referee knew he would work a fight.
About the 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon of a fight, you don't know you're going to really work the fight. You know you're assigned, you're going to do something that night. Just what fight you get, you don't know. It might not be the main event. I was fortunate on almost all occasions I had the main event. And then the ulcers start in, you know. You know you want to do good, and you know it's an important thing. And then you sit around ringside, and the days I used to sit next to There's a knockdown timekeeper next to Bill Corum and Don Dunphy, and you hear them say, this dignitary is sitting here and this ambassador is sitting here. It's an international fight. And you get like, you know, butterflies.
Nervous, yeah.
Oh, sure, in your stomach you want to do good and you hope you do the right thing. And you study the two fighters in a mind, their good parts, their bad parts, and what they might do and all that. But just like a fighter, the minute the bell rings, you forget everything that goes on and you just take care of the fight.
How many championship fights you figure you worked, Ruby?
I would say one more or less, 38 or 39 championship fights.
38 or 39. If I would have to guess which was one of the toughest, and I'm talking about physically, and all referees have to be the toughest, I'd guess that hot one with Maxim and Sugar Ray.
Oh, yes, that happened at the ballpark. It broke a 100-year heat record in New York, and at the end of the 10th round, the doctors at the ringside realized I wasn't able to continue anymore, and they took me in the dressing room. And I was really worried. You know, when you come to, Joe, it's like nothing happened. You remember everything that went on. And I finally came to after a couple of injections, I understand, they gave me. And the doctor said, how do you feel? And I said, well, I feel good except for one thing. I'm worried. He said, what are you worrying about? I said, well, truthfully, now it comes back to me. I called the 9th round even and the 10th round even. Not that I knew it was even. I didn't know who was hitting who, and I thought this would be the best thing to do, and it's foolish. So he says, well, what are you worrying about? I says, well, supposing I deprived some boy of the 2 rounds, he might have won it, and it makes a difference in the decision, I would, you know, wouldn't feel good. They might forgive me for my condition, but it isn't right. He says, well, forget about it, because it seems the fight didn't go the distance, because Ray Robinson was also unfortunate. While he was winning, he was overcome by the heat between, I think, the 12th and the 13th round.
But there was another night in the ring that proved to be even tougher on Ruby Goldstein. And he'll be back to discuss it later today right here on Monitor. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Good morning, morning glory. Good morning, what's your story? Good morning, where'd you spend the night? Where did your night dreams take you? Sorry, but I had to wake you. Oh, I just had to make you share your precious morning light on me. I'm jealous of the dreams that keep you awake from me. Good morning, morning glory. I'd like to thank the Sandman for he let you wake up in my.
Campbell, Bobby Gentry, with Morning Glory. The money crisis, brought on this time by the franc, which has been worth about 20 cents. Now it's not doing too well. President de Gaulle tried to bust our dollar, and he ended up falling flat on his franc. The problem is affecting the entire world. Here's a Monitor News special, a report from Wells Hangen, NBC News, Hong Kong.
The effects of the French monetary crisis are being felt even in communist China, a country that professes to despise everything capitalistic. Right now, China's trade with Japan and most other countries is in suspense because Peking rates its business deals in terms of pound sterling, and no one knows how the pound is going to be affected by General de Gaulle's refusal to devalue the franc. When Britain devalued the pound last fall, the Chinese communists started quoting prices for their goods in French francs. A few contracts were stated in Swiss francs. But when the West seemed to have solved its financial woes, Peking went back to its old practice of conducting its foreign trade in terms of British pounds. This, despite the fact that Chinese communist propaganda continued to predict the imminent collapse of the whole capitalist financial structure. Peking's problem, like that of all other communist countries, is that its own currency may not legally be bought or sold abroad. Chinese yuan, like Russian rubles, are a purely domestic currency. If they were convertible abroad, communist treasuries would disgorge their last cent of foreign exchange trying to support the value of their paper money. So the Chinese and other communist governments do all their trading in terms of one of the major Western currencies. Today, Peking is publicly gloating over what it calls the fast-developing storm that's hit the capitalist countries. An official Chinese commentary says the whole Western monetary system is in danger. It neglects to say that China's own foreign trade system is equally imperiled. Wells Hangen, NBC News, Hong Kong.
Nelson Riddle and the orchestra sealed with a kiss. Well, I'm not going to blow any kisses, but I'm going to bow out for a few minutes. NBC News is next. Then we'll be back. Morgan for Monitor.
Don't go away, there's more to come. More to interest everyone.